Hello, this is Randy Thompson from the North Carolina Reading Service, previously known as the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to Music Review. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. For the next half hour, I shall be reading articles about music from such sources as the New York Times, the News and Observer, The Week Magazine, Rolling Stone, and Entertainment Weekly. As indicated by this intro music, today's program is dedicated to holiday music. We'll be featuring the backstories to many of the most popular songs of the season. But first, these musical trivia questions. Today's musical trivia questions come to us from the website conversationstartersworld.com. Question number one. The French word Noël is often used around Christmas, but what was its original meaning in Latin? Was it A, bells, B, song, C, birth, or D, festival? The word Noël. And question number two, what is the basis of the word Xmas? A, it was a term first used to discourage attendance at Catholic Mass. B, it was a term first introduced in the 16th century to honor Christ. C, it was a term first used to diminish the religious nature of the holiday. Or D, it was a term first introduced in the Great Depression to put more emphasis on holiday shopping. The answers to these two important musical trivia questions will be given, as usual, at the end of today's program. Music Review is underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, call 919-779-1755.
I'll be home for Christmas. Plan on me.
Well, coming home is a common theme, and who better than Perry Como singing I'll Be Home for Christmas introduces this background story. It's entitled Commentary, I'll Be Home for Christmas. I'll Be Home for Christmas was a favorite across the country then and even now, with its lyrics lending an urgency to being home for the holiday. This is published on December the 6th, 2019 by Michael D. Langdon, NBC-2.com. Now, Bing Crosby sang it in 1943, but many artists have recorded it, including Perry Como, Elvis, Johnny Mathis, Frank Sinatra, and Michael Bublé in 2011. I remember as a child during World War II sitting with my mother at the kitchen table on Christmas Eve. My father was overseas in Germany in the Battle of the Bulge, and I was trying to console my mother. She was crying as she listened to Bing sing the song on the radio. Because of the lyrics, she knew my father would not be there the next day or any time soon, even if he wanted to be. What could I do? I just held her hand. There's something in those words urging us to hope we can return to that dream of Christmas too, isn't there? Whether it's the remembrance of things past, husbands and wives away, because of war, work, sickness, or mere distance. It's a trial to be absent from where the love light gleams. So we work toward that dream of being home for Christmas again, wherever we are, don't we? We can count on each other to pursue that dream.
If only
Well, we're home now, but before Santa arrives, you gotta have a gift list. So...
Santa baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me. Been an awful good girl, Santa baby, so hurry down the chimney tonight.
Eartha Kitt performing Santa Baby introduces this next Christmas backstory. Santa Baby by Eartha Kitt, that was 1953, and it charted at number 63 in England. As noted in songfacts.com, Eartha Kitt was a sultry nightclub performer who earned a record deal with RCA in 1953. Trying to play up her image as a sophisticated vamp, RCA had her record a French song called C'est si bon, it's so good, which put her on the radar. At the end of 1953, Joan Javits, who was the niece of U.S. Senator Jacob Javits, wrote Santa Baby for Kitt with Philip Springer, and it became a holiday hit and Kitt's most famous song. Javits came up with the lyric, Santa Baby, just slip a sable under the tree for me, and Springer quickly came up with the music.
Been an angel all year, Santa Baby, so hurry down the chimney.
Along with I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus, this was one of the first Christmas novelty songs. Christmas songs written at the time tended to be nostalgic looks at the holiday or kid songs, but this one took a different approach, with Kitt singing about how she's been good all year and expects some very expensive gifts to appear, including a fur coat and even a yacht. This girl has expensive taste. In 1981, the copyright term expired on the song, and Javits sold her share of the rights to Springer, giving him control of the song. For years, he tried to get artists to record it, and in 1987, Madonna recorded it for the charity album, A Very Special Christmas. Springer didn't make any money from this version, as he had to donate all his royalties to the Special Olympics. But Madonna's version brought the song back into the spotlight, and it has been a Christmas standard ever since, providing significant revenue for Springer. The song has been used on a number of TV specials and appeared in the movie Driving Miss Daisy. Artists to cover the song include Taylor Swift, Natalie Merchant, Leon Rimes, Faith Evans, and Kelly Pickler. It was only a matter of time before an ad agency used this song in a literal sense. In 2014, a version by Tammy Infusino appeared in a Kmart spot showing five pregnant women dancing to the song in their Joe Boxer pajamas. Well, we got home, we got our gift lift, and we're waiting for Santa. So here he comes.
Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Blixin' and blixin' and all his reindeers pulling on the reins. Bells are ringing, children singing, all is merry and bright. So hang your stockings and say your prayers, cause Santa Claus comes tonight.
Gene Autry performing Here Comes Santa Claus provides this intro to our next Christmas backstory. 1947 album titled Here Comes Santa Claus by Gene Autry, charted at number 28. Gene Autry wrote this song while remembering riding his world-famous horse, Champion, in the annual Hollywood Boulevard Christmas Parade. Seems Autry was just a few positions in front of Santa Claus in the parade. While he was riding, the kids could care less about Autry. They were screaming, Here Comes Santa Claus! Here Comes Santa Claus! As reported in songfacts.com. When the group heard Ice Cube's jingling so merrily on the playback of this song, they were inspired to use a jingle bell sound on Gene's record. It was the first Gene Autry Christmas release, a huge commercial and artistic triumph that opened the door to an unexpected extension of his phenomenal career.
Come Santa Claus here, come Santa Claus right down Santa Claus Lane. He'll come around when chimes ring out that it's Christmas morn again. Peace on earth will come to all if we just follow the light. So let's give thanks to the Lord.
Even though we tend to think of this holiday as cold or snowy, it also arrives in the southern hemisphere. So we have this.
How'd you like to spend Christmas on Christmas Island? How'd you like to spend a holiday away across the sea?
The Andrews Sisters performing Christmas Island brings up our next backstory. The Andrews Sisters and Guy Lombardo, Christmas Island, published in AllMusic.com by Ronnie D. Langford, Jr. For those who live in warmer locales, songs like White Christmas and Winter Wonderland may seem a bit exotic. How often do Southern Californians or New Zealanders or Hawaiians, after all, enjoy a White Christmas? Perhaps Lyle Moraine shared such a thought when he wrote Christmas Island, a song that celebrates the popular holiday in a warmer climate. Lyrically, the song sketches a simple portrait of a place where folks hang their stockings on coconut trees and Santa arrives in a canoe. The islanders, unlike the mainlanders, stay up late and wait for his arrival. Moraine wrote the song in 1946. The Andrews Sisters, backed by Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians, turned it into a million seller the same year. The song, over time, would prove the perfect fit for artists who performed in warmer climates. The Lennon Sisters, who worked with Lawrence Welk in Southern California, turned in a fine version of the song on Christmas with the Lennon Sisters. The song also served as the title for Jimmy Buffett's 1996 holiday album.
How'd you like to stay up late?
And of course, the holidays are not just celebrated in English.
Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Feliz Navidad. Prospero año y felicidad.
Jose Feliciano's Feliz Navidad brings us to this backstory. Feliz Navidad by Jose Feliciano, 1970, charted at number 29, published in songfacts.com. This bilingual holiday classic comprises a simple English verse with a Spanish chorus, Feliz Navidad, Prospero Año y Felicidad. That translates as Merry Christmas, a prosperous year, and happiness. The song's composer, Puerto Rican singer-songwriter Jose Feliciano, told Billboard magazine, "If I had left it in Spanish only, then I knew the English stations might not play it. So I decided to write an English lyric, 'I want to wish you a Merry Christmas.' And then there was no way the stations could lock that song out of the programming." Feliciano's original recording is the title track of his 1970 album. Other artists that have covered the tune include Michael Bublé and Celine Dion. It had also been performed on Glee. The song is one of the most downloaded and aired Christmas songs in the USA, coming in at number 21 of the top 30 most performed holiday songs of all time. And it's not just White Christmas we sometimes get.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you.
Elvis Presley performing Blue Christmas brings us to our next backstory. Blue Christmas by Elvis Presley, songfacts.com. 1957, charted at number 11 in England, number 40 in the USA.
If you're not here with me, and when the blue snowflake.
Originally recorded by Western actor Doyle O'Dell in 1948, the song found popularity 2 years later with a cover by Ernest Tubb. Elvis Presley recorded it in 1957 for his Elvis's Christmas album. It wasn't released as a single until 1964, when, in the U.S., it was backed with Wooden Heart from Elvis's soundtrack to his film G.I. Blues. But from 1965 and on, it was backed with Santa Claus Is Back in Town in the U.K. The single was also released in 1964, but with Elvis's version of White Christmas on the flip, making for a very colorful and seasonal single. Elvis performed this song for the first time on his 1968 television special, which was called Singer Presents Elvis. It was sponsored by Singer Sewing Machines. Recorded in June, the special aired on December 3rd and helped revitalize his career. His performance of Blue Christmas is the only video footage that exists of Elvis singing a Christmas song. Before he begins the song, Elvis states, "I'd like to do my favorite Christmas song of the ones I've recorded." The song has been covered by Ringo Starr, Celine Dion, The Beach Boys, Sheryl Crow, Brooks and Dunn, Vince Gill, Bette Midler, Harry Connick Jr., Shakin' Stevens, Bill Haley in the Comets, Freddie Fender, Collective Soul, and Porky Pig. There aren't many instrumental renditions of this song because it's so associated with the lyric, but according to Jim Brickman, who recorded a piano version for his 2014 album, On a Winter's Night, it's not that hard to pull off. It's a very simple song, so it comes naturally, he told SongFacts. But in the U.S., we associate Christmas with winter, and of course, we hope for a white Christmas, meaning lots of snow and ice and wintry weather.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, just like the one
Bing Crosby singing White Christmas leads us to the backstory to this recording. 1942 White Christmas by Bing Crosby charted number one in the USA. As noted in songfacts.com, this eight-line song that paints a picture of holiday nostalgia was written by Irving Berlin for the 1942 movie Holiday Inn, where Bing Crosby sings it from the perspective of a New Yorker stranded in sunny California during Christmas. In the film, the song begins with this verse. The sun is shining, the grass is green, the orange and palm trees sway. There's never been such a day in Beverly Hills, L.A. But it's December the 24th, and I'm longing to be up north. Crosby recorded a version of the song for release as a single on May 29, 1942, a few months before the movie hit theaters. At the advice of Bing's record producer, Jack Capp, this original first verse was excised as it made no sense outside the context of the film. Now starting with the familiar I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas, the song became a huge hit, going to number one on the Billboard chart, measuring sales in October and staying in the top spot for 11 weeks, taking it through the first 2 weeks of 1943. The song enjoyed a sales resurgence every Christmas after it was first recorded, released in 1942. It went to number one that year and again reached the top spot in 1945 and 47. The song appeared on various Billboard charts every year until 1963, when it finally dropped off the Hot 100. a perennial seller for an entire generation, the song is by far the biggest selling Christmas song of all time, most likely the biggest selling single of all time. Sales figure from the 40s and 50s are rough estimates, especially the worldwide numbers, so there's no way to know for sure. But Guinness World Records estimates White Christmas at number one with 50 million sold. They picked a nice round number. The original Drifters, with Clyde McFadder as their lead vocalist, recorded their doo-wop version in November 53. It hit number two on the R&B charts in 54 and made the pop charts in 55. According to Mark Steins, A Song for the Season, Berlin began writing this on January the 8th, 1942. The songwriter was in a hurry that Monday morning and shouted at his musical secretary, Helmi Krisa, "Grab your pen and take down this song. It's the best song I ever wrote. Hell, it's the best song anybody ever wrote." Stein notes that White Christmas owes much of its enduring popularity to World War II, specifically the attack on Pearl Harbor that led to U.S. involvement, because the song adopted a significance beyond the reaches of Hollywood. Had America entered the war in Europe in 1939, White Christmas might have just been a hit record from a so-so movie. Instead, 1942 was the American servicemen's first Christmas away in the Pacific, under glorious sunny skies that only made home seem even more distant.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by choir.
Nat King Cole's The Christmas Song brings us the background to this holiday favorite. Nat King Cole, The Christmas Song, charted at number three in the U.S. As noted in SongFacts.com, Mel Torme and Bob Wells were songwriting partners and used to take turns going over to each other's homes to write songs. One particularly hot July day, Mel drove over to Bob's house in Toluca Lake, California, and when he got there, he walked into the house, couldn't find Bob, but found a spiral notepad of paper with some words on it. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, folks dressed up like Eskimos. When Mel found Bob, he asked him, "What's this?" And Bob said, "It's so blistering hot here, I thought that it would be fun to see if I could write something about a totally different season, the winter season, Christmas season, and see if I could mentally, virtually cool off," Mel said. "Not only have you cooled me off, but I think you've got a song here." And the duo wrote the rest of the song in about 35 minutes.
Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
So how'd you do on today's musical trivia questions? Well, the answer to our first question: the French word Noël is often used around Christmas, but what was its original meaning in Latin? Was it A, bells, B, song, C, birth, or D, festival? Correct answer is answer C, birth. You can definitely see why Noël became so synonymous with Christmas. As noted in Merriam-Webster.com, English speakers borrowed the word Noël from French. It can be traced further back to the Latin word natalis, which can mean birthday as a noun, or of or relating to birth as an adjective. The English adjective natal has the same meaning. Noels were first being sung in Latin or French for centuries before the word found its way into our language in the 1800s. The earliest known musical use of Noël occurred in the text of a Christmas motet called Nova Vobis Gaudia, which was written in the 1400s. And the answer to our second question: what is the basis of the word Xmas? Is it A, it was a term first used to discourage attendance at Catholic Mass? Was it B, it was a term first introduced many centuries ago to honor Christ? Was it C, it was a term first used to diminish the religious nature of the holiday? Or was it D, it was a term first introduced during the Great Depression to put more emphasis on holiday shopping? Correct answer? Well, as noted in numerous sources, including whychristmas.com and conversationstartersworld.com, some people don't think it's correct to call Christmas Xmas, as that may appear to take the Christ out of Christmas. But actually, in the Greek language and alphabet, the letter that looks like an X is the Greek letter chi, C-H-I, which is the first letter of the Greek word for Christ, Christos. The early church used the first two letters of Christos in the Greek alphabet, chi and rho, to create a monogram to represent the name of Jesus. This looks like a small P superimposed on the top of the letter X. In effect, despite conspiracy theories to the contrary, the written word XMAS is not a recent attempt to diminish the religious character of the holiday, since it's been intended for many centuries to actually represent Christmas. Answer B, therefore, is the correct answer. Perhaps this mambo remix of Rudolph will warm us up a bit. Well, we've run out of time for today's episode of Music Review. Be sure to join us again next week at the same time. This program's available in our website, ncreadingservice.org, as a podcast after the broadcast. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Music Review, underwritten by Bill McClure, tuning pianos in the Raleigh area since 1968. For more information or to schedule a piano tuning, call 919-779-1755. I'm Randy Thompson, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long. Until next time.